kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and we are continuing our studies in the School of Grace. It's been an incredible journey just getting to see the grace of God as grace is revealed in Scripture. And in our last series of studies, we're looking at the fact that God has ordained for us to reign in life. That Scripture is a word from the heart of God telling us what God has, you know, granted to us because we believe and belong. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we belong to Him. The Scripture is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says, "For if through the transgression of the one individual, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty." So death reigned through that one individual because of that one person's transgression. And because all of us were born through that one person, so death reigned over all of us. But then something happened that changed the reign of death. We are now told in that same scripture, Romans 5:17, it says, "For if through the transgression of the one individual, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty, all the more shall those who receive God's overflowing grace," or what the other versions call the abundance of grace, the abundance, the overflow of grace, and the gift of righteousness, they will reign as kings in life through the one individual, Jesus Christ. This is the Weymouth, Richard Francis Weymouth translation I've read of Romans 5:17. And it says the same thing in other versions. So what we are being told here is that there are people that will reign in life. Notice it does not say they are going to reign when we get to heaven, or they will reign at the millennial reign of Christ. A lot of people like to postpone the promises of God to an indefinite future. There is nothing like that in this verse. It says they will reign as kings in life. So, and they are going to do that through the one individual, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this scripture, we have a promise that certain people are going to reign in life. I'm interested in participating in this verse. I want this verse to happen in my life. But then we find that there are twin conditions that the Bible has established if that is going to happen. And the two conditions are that they must receive God's overflowing grace and the gift of righteousness. Notice that the gift of righteousness itself is also a gift of grace. So the first manifestation of grace they receive in this direction is they receive the gift of righteousness, which comes to us when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We receive Him by faith. And because God has made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Once we put our faith in what Christ has done, we repent from our sins and we receive Christ, Jesus becomes our righteousness. So we receive the gift of righteousness. But then receiving the gift of righteousness alone, and righteousness means there are two aspects of righteousness. The primary meaning of righteousness is right standing with God. A right standing that grants us access to the presence of God, and we stand before God uncondemned, justified, with no sense of guilt or condemnation. It means we have right standing before God and in the presence of God. But you see, apart from now having right standing with God, the other component of righteousness is uprightness. Doing right because you are right. We are not doing things that are right so that we can be justified. But now that we have been justified, as an overflow, as an outcome, as a consequence of being justified and declared righteous in the sight of God, we now live a righteous life. We do things that are right. We keep away from sin and we live righteously and godly. So those are the two aspects of righteousness. Some people in the body of Christ like to emphasize the first part. You know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It doesn't matter what I do. Of course, it matters what you do. If somebody claims to be the righteousness of God in Christ, and then the person is living in sin, you can see that the works of that person are undermining the claims. So the faith without works is dead. There must be corresponding action. If you have been justified, you must live justified. You cannot be justified and be living as a condemned person. That's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the gift of righteousness. And you receive that when you receive Christ into your heart by faith in what he has done for us. But apart from receiving this, and I want you to listen to me, dear child of God, this is where a lot of believers, you know, miss a critical component of the triumphant life. The Bible is now telling us that there's another condition, that these people who have received the gift of righteousness must continue to receive God's overflowing grace, an abundance of grace, if they are going to reign in life. And a major key to this thing here, because now we are now going to be focusing on the sources of grace, the 10 sources. And I'm sure there may be more, but I found from my studies of scripture, 10 sources of grace from where we can receive this abundance of grace that makes it possible for us to reign in life. And the reason is because there is nothing you can meet in life that grace cannot handle. So if you keep receiving grace, you will walk in triumph. You will walk in victory. The reason is because you have the antidote. You have the answer. Omnipotent benevolence. Remember, we define grace as omnipotent benevolence. The kindness of the Almighty. There is nothing that the kindness of the Almighty cannot handle in the life of a person who is walking in the light of Christ. Nothing. There is nothing that the devil can throw at you that God's grace will not be more than sufficient to handle and to neutralize. So the person that has grace will trample on snakes and scorpions. Why is that so? Because grace is abundant. And that grace can handle any snake or scorpion. So you see, but the key here now is receiving. You see, it says those who receive. That's what it says. Those who receive. And the word there, the best translation is the one you find in the literal version. So it says much more those who are receiving. Who are receiving. So the kind of grace that enables us to live in reign in life is not historical grace. It's not the grace you received when you got born again. It's the grace that you are receiving. It's active grace that you are continuing to collect, to download, to lambano. The word received there is the Greek word lambano. And lambano is a common word in the New Testament. Lambano means to take. Lambano means to take. It does not mean to receive passively. This is very important. You see, in my mind, I have categorized grace into two broad categories of grace. You have what I call passive grace, and then you have what I call active grace. All of them is grace. Let me give an example so that you can understand what I mean. By passive grace, I mean the providence of God upon all creation. I mean, you don't have to pray about it. It just comes to you. A few examples. Rain falls on the farm of the just and on the unjust. God gives life to all those who are upon earth. People didn't pray to come into the world. And most of the people in the world today are not praying to stay alive because they are not even born again. They don't know God. Now, the sun shines upon everyone. We breathe in air free of charge. God grants us all of these things as acts of divine providence, to which, you know, we don't do anything. It's not an active collection. You don't need to wake up and say, today I take sunlight in the name of Jesus. Okay, today I'm commanding that air will be available for me to breathe. You don't do that. This is passive grace, but it is still grace. But the grace that is going to enable us to reign in life is not passive grace. It's not grace that just you wait, it lands on you. No. It is active grace. Grace that must be actively sought and actively collected, received, lambano. It is grace that will not come if you don't collect it. I'll give you one simple example. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive lambano. Lambano, that we may take grace. So if you didn't come to the throne of grace, you will not collect grace, because that grace does not land on the lap of those who do nothing. It is available to those who use their access to collect grace. Now, that brings me to another very important point. You see, the plan of God for the triumphant life, listening to these things, you see, the things I'm sharing with you were revealed to me by God. Because I am asking questions. I say, Lord, why is this thing not working? And God began to show me the things I'm sharing with you. And I wish that the body of Christ will receive this revelation. And that's why when you receive these things, don't keep this thing to yourself. The more you share it with other people, the more it multiplies. Teach it, study it, check for yourself whether what I'm sharing with you is in the Bible. Otherwise, throw it away. See, you see what the plan of God for the triumphant life is, that the first thing that God did was that God delivered us from disgrace. Our life of sin was a life of disgrace. I mean, there are things that we are all ashamed about. So the first step is to take us out of the land of disgrace and to bring us into the country of grace. You read that in Romans chapter 5 verse 2. He says that it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have received access into this grace wherein we stand. So you see, we are standing in grace. We were not there before, but grace has brought us to stand in grace. Now, as we are standing in grace, we receive the gift of righteousness. So it is because we receive the gift of righteousness that we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So we now stand in grace because we are in Christ. Now, but that is not the end of the plan for the triumphant life. Now that we are in grace, God now gives us access to the storehouse of unlimited grace. We now have access to collect more grace. Remember, the Bible said in John chapter 1 that it is verse 16. It says, out of the fullness of Christ we have received. And the word received there again is lambano. Lambano. We lambano. We take out of the fullness of Christ grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And out of his fullness, we continue to collect, we continue to download, we continue to take, to lambano, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Now listen, what now happens to you after you have arrived in Christ is dependent on the quantity, mark the word, on the quantity, the intensity, the level of grace that you collect. This is why people can be in Christ and be overwhelmed by life. But that's not the plan of God. The reason is because they are not using their access to collect more and more grace. Imagine that somebody gave you a ticket and you don't use the ticket. You will stay outside like those who don't have a ticket. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, when you read it from verses 1 to 4 in the Message translation, In the Standard Translation, the Bible talks about, you know, God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises so that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you see, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, which enables us to be partakers of the divine nature. And the divine nature is triumphant, is a victorious nature of dominion. But we are given promises that will launch us into that, the fullness of that divine nature. So if you don't use the exceedingly great and precious promises, you will not walk in the fullness of the divine nature, which is the dominion, which is victory over sin, over satanic attacks, and over everything that Satan can manufacture. The Message translation said that we were given absolutely terrific promises. That's how Eugene Peterson in the Message translation puts it, that we are given absolutely terrific promises, your tickets to participation in the life of God. Absolutely terrific promises, your ticket to participation in the life of God. So God has given us a ticket, access to participate in the victorious, triumphant life that Jesus purchased for us. So what now happens is what you do with your access to grace. Which brings me to another very important point before we get into the process of taking grace, the sources of grace. And that point, which I mentioned also in the last teaching, is that there are levels of grace. You see, most believers don't understand that there are levels of grace. And certain levels of grace are required to handle certain challenges in life. You see, we have access to all of these levels of grace. But if you don't lambano, if you don't take, if you don't continue to actively receive is present continuous. If you don't continue to receive grace, you will not walk in the fullness of the victorious life that God ordained for you, even though you are a child of God. This is, you know, the people you call great men of God and that God uses to do all kinds of things, these are simply believers that continue to collect grace until grace is great in their life. And then the manifestations of that grace can handle anything, both in their own lives and in the lives of those they minister to. That is why grace is the secret of the victorious life, is the secret of impactful ministry. Your ministry, your level and impact in ministry will be determined by the level of grace that you have collected and that you continue to collect to lambano. This is critical. This is how the thing works. See, the Bible says the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. Ecclesiastes 10:15. He said the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because they don't know how to go to the city. When you don't know how something works, it will not work for you, even though it's working for other people. So there are levels of grace. So we find the Bible talk about grace. He said, for by grace are you saved. Grace wherein we stand. I mentioned Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 2. But then there is more grace. In James chapter 4 verse 6, he said, he giveth more grace. So you can have grace and then have more grace. Then Jesus spoke to Paul. The Father God spoke to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient. So you have grace, you have more grace, you have sufficient grace. But then you also have what the Bible calls manifold grace, or the many-sided, multi-dimensional grace of God. This is found in 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold, many-sided grace. So you see, the grace of God is multifaceted, multidimensional. Grace is not just about the forgiveness of sin. Grace is multi. You have, you know, sin-conquering grace. You have purifying grace. You have healing grace. You have financial grace. You have, because everything we receive from God is grace. It's grace. So grace is multidimensional. So you have multidimensional grace. Then listen now, you have great grace. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 33, listen to this. The Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Now watch. Notice, he said, with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So you see, the great power was a consequence of great grace. So notice the combination: great power, great grace. When grace becomes great in a person's life, power will also manifest in great measures. The reason is because the grace of God is the power of God. Remember, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness." There are things that are closely associated with grace. You hear grace and power, and then grace and glory. He said, for the Lord God, Psalm 84, verse 11, he said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. Grace and glory. And then in this other scripture now, we have grace and power. Notice the association very closely, because the greater the level of grace in your life, the greater the power that will manifest in you. And as that power continues to increase, you will reign in life. Why is that so? Because you are downloading, you are lambanoing, you are taking grace, you are collecting the antidote, you are receiving what is required to handle anything that can come to you in life. Oh God, bring your church to this revelation, and then give us the diligence to pursue grace through the sources of grace. And we are going to begin to look at those sources of grace before I close. We will continue that in the second part of this week's study. Then, apart from great grace, you have multiplied grace. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and many other scriptures, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. We read that in 1 Peter 1, 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, the same thing. Grace and peace be multiplied. So now this is exponential grace. See, when grace starts multiplying, you are now dealing with multiplication. You are not just dealing with addition now. Eh? Grace be multiplied. And now how can this grace be multiplied? You see there now the source of grace. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have the multiplication. You now move to the level of exponential grace. And when grace becomes exponential, you will walk in victory. Now you have the next one, all grace. All grace. Say, God is able to make all grace. All grace. You now gather all the multidimensional grace together. I say, God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things. So note grace and hallelujah. Note grace and sufficiency in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God had said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now he says, God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. Note again the connection of grace and sufficiency. Grace and power. Grace and glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, launch every one of us, Father, into the fullest dimensions of grace. Raise a church, oh God, of overflowing grace. Father, raise an army possessed by an abundance of grace. An army of grace marching through the nations of the earth. Child of God, this is what is needed in this generation. An army loaded with grace, bringing grace to a world that is sitting in darkness, and a world that is in disgrace. Oh God, Father, do something inside our hearts. Then you now have abundance acts of grace, which you read about. So you see, when grace begins to multiply, when grace becomes great, when all grace now begins to arrive in somebody's life, you now have what the Bible calls an abundance of grace, an overflow. Where the Christian life is not a struggle. No, where Satan is not a match. See, this pull me, I pull you that Christians are doing with the devil is not the design of the New Testament. This Satan we are talking about is crushed. He was crushed at the cross. Jesus could not crush Satan's head, and then Satan will still be able to crush the church and harass people that are members of the body of Christ. In other words, when the Bible tells us that Jesus bruised the head of the devil, he did it with his feet. When you are going to crush something on the ground, you don't do it with your hands. He did it with his feet. It means that the least member, the lowest member at the feet of the body of Jesus Christ, the lowest member down at the feet, is supposed to walk in victory over Satan and all of his works. This is the truth. Forget your experience and listen to the promise of God for your life, my sister, my brother. Don't quote what your experience. Leave your experience alone. Embrace the promise and begin to follow the process that will deliver this promise into your life. And you now have what the Bible calls the fullness of grace. So this is only present in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, out of his fullness, Jesus is the only person that has the boundless fullness of grace. And it is out of his fullness that we continue to receive grace upon grace, favor upon favor, answer upon answer, power upon power, sufficiency upon sufficiency, glory upon glory. And as we are receiving this grace, we are being changed. We are being transfigured from one degree of glory to another degree of glory by the Spirit of God. So remember, ordinary level grace will not handle postgraduate iniquity. Ordinary level grace cannot handle postgraduate attacks of the enemy. See, ordinary level grace, basic, ground level grace. You are born again. Praise God for you. Thank God. But that is not enough for you to walk in victory if you don't continue to collect and lambano more and more grace. The reason is because where sin abounds, grace much, much more abounded. That's how grace reigns. And remember that even for sin to reign, sin had to abound. When sin arrived, sin began to multiply. And it was out of that multiplication that the dominion of sin was established. Now that grace has arrived, grace must also multiply if grace is going to reign. And which now brings up a very important question. And then that question then is, so where can I find grace? And if you're asking that question, the Lord has an answer for us. Over the years, and as I began to study these matters, the Lord began to reveal to me 10 sources of grace. Like I said, you may be able to find more as you do your own Bible study. And I want to now begin to introduce those 10 sources of grace, because that is where you are going to find grace. The level of grace that you find to counterbalance anything the enemy can throw at you, and to counteract any satanic attack and anything, and to be able to function to the fullest dimensions of the call of God upon your life, the level of grace you are going to find will be dependent on what you do with these sources of grace. Imagine that there are only 5 sources of fuel, gasoline, gas, for your car in the city where you live. There are only 5 filling stations. Would you agree with me that what will happen to you as far as gasoline is concerned has to do with what you do with those 5 filling stations? If you don't go to those 5 filling stations, your gas tank will be empty. Your fuel tank will be empty. It's not because there is no fuel in your city, but because you didn't go to the sources where you could get fuel. This is so important. And listen to me, child of God. Leave your experience alone and receive the word of God and see what this word will do in your life if you will apply it. In Mark chapter 4, verses 24, look what the Bible said. Mark 4:24, and I'm reading the Amplified Bible. a translation here. Jesus said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you hear. He said, the measure you give will be the measure that comes back to you. That is how the standard translations put it. But listen to the Amplified. He said, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Listen to this. Don't miss this. This is critical. We have come to the point of application of these studies that we are doing. He said, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you. So now you are dealing with measures now. So assuming that you are born again, you are in Christ, but you are using a small measure. What will be the measure that will come back to you? The measure will be small. You see, most believers don't understand the law of measures. The law of measure is saying that even when you are dealing with something good, if you came with a measure, a teaspoon of something good, and you planted it as your seed, you are going to receive something good, but you can only receive something good according to the measure that you have brought. See, if you bring a tanker, you will receive according to that measure. If you brought a bucket, you will receive according to the same measure of good things. So if you want an exponential manifestation of good and power and benefit and blessing in your life, what must you do? You change your measure of operation. See, it says the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear. So, assuming you hear all of these truths now about grace, about the indwelling, and all of these things that we are studying, you hear all of these things, but you gave a small measure of thought and study to these matters. The Bible is saying that you are also going to receive, but it will be according to the measure. You will receive virtue and knowledge, power and knowledge and testimonies, but it can only be according to the measure that you gave. This is so important, meaning that if you give a massive amount of attention to these things that we are studying, and you spend time, you spend prayer, you begin to lambano, you begin to take grace, you begin to engage the 10 sources of grace, do you know what is going to happen? That measure will begin to manifest in your life and ministry, and it will bring exponential grace in your life that will enable you to reign in life. So here are the 10 sources of grace. I'm going to introduce them now, and then we are going to continue to look at them in the second part of this study. First of all, I'm going to list the 10 sources of grace. The number one is the God of all grace. That's not surprising, because God is the source of it all. Jesus, the living word, that is number two. The God of all grace. Jesus, the living word. Then number three is the word of his grace, the written word. You see, the living word himself is a source of grace, but the written word is also a source of grace. And of course, Jesus is the word of God. The number four source of grace is the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Number five is the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. There is a spirit that the Bible calls the spirit of grace, and that is the Holy Spirit. So, the more we engage him, the more grace will we find. Number six now is people of grace. You are going to find that there are people of grace. And the more you associate with people of grace, the more grace you are going to enjoy. Then there are places of grace. This is number seven now. So, you have people of grace. Then you have places of grace. Then number eight, attitudes of grace. There are certain attitudes that are attitudes of grace. If you develop those attitudes, you will collect more grace. Number nine, there are acts of grace. And the more of these acts of grace that you perform, the more grace you will find. You will lambano. And finally, number 10, there are articles of grace. articles. I'm talking of physical articles that where you can receive grace, from where you can collect grace. Of course, there are also articles of disgrace. I'm not kidding. There are certain articles, physical articles now I'm talking about, that if you handle them and you bring them near you, you are in danger of disgrace. You don't want those things near your life. And I'm talking of physical things. We will discuss that when we in our second segment. Amen. So you see these 10 sources of grace that I've just listed. The quantity of grace that you will enjoy will be totally dependent on your engagement of this quantity, these sources of grace. It is your application and pursuit of these sources of grace that will determine how much grace you will download to enable you to reign in life. So if you don't apply yourself to these sources of grace, you will not find the overflow, the abundance of grace that is required. And even though you are standing in grace and you have received the gift of righteousness, you are a child of God, you will struggle through life. And that is not the Father's plan for us. Okay, so the first source of grace is the God of all grace. And we see that in several scriptures. But let me read this one in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and 10. He said, but the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So note, grace and glory. Do you notice that? Remember, in Psalm 84 verse 11, he said, the Lord will give grace and glory. Now notice 1 Peter 5:10. He said, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So it was grace that called us to glory. Are you following the matter now? He said, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish, he will strengthen, and he will settle you. God is the God of all grace, and to him be all glory and praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. So you see, grace and peace will be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, the eternal Father, gives grace and glory. He is the God of all kinds of grace. The grace of life, the grace that brings salvation, praying grace, the spirit of grace and supplication, all-sufficient grace, healing grace, enabling grace. You know, the grace that gives us peace no matter the situation and no matter the matter. All of this grace and peace and this multidimensional grace can be multiplied to us experientially and exponentially. But how will that happen? It is through the knowledge of God. So the grace that comes as we know God is exponential grace. And I'm telling you that this grace is released in ever-increasing measure as you grow in the knowledge of God. So you see, why knowing God and just engaging him? Do you know that Goliath looks big to those who have not seen Jehovah? I said Goliath looks big to those who have not seen Jehovah. Notice that because David knew God, when he saw Goliath, Goliath looked like a flea. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He said, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today I'm going to kill you or cut off your head. This is a teenager talking. Where did he get all this from? It was from his revelation of God. The bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier mountains become. This is why there is a problem in the church, because church is no longer studying God. We are studying the things that we can get from God. But do you know, when you begin to know God, come and hear the Bible say, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The people that do know their God, they are the ones that will be strong. They are the ones that will do exploits. Why is that so? Because they are downloading grace. Their revelation and their knowledge of God is bringing multidimensional grace upon their lives. More than enough to triumph over everything the enemy can bring and to do great exploits in life. So you see, God is the source of all grace, and all of these other sources that we are talking about, you can still see that they are all connected to Him. So from next, at the next study, we are now going to look further at the living word, the written word, the throne of grace, and the other sources of grace that we find in Scripture. So to summarize, remember that we have established that God wants us, every believer. This is not something that belongs to apostles and to so-called men of God. This is the heritage of every child of God. Because what Jesus did for every man of God, He did for every child of God. All of us that have received the gift of righteousness, we have access to grace. Amen. So this heritage belongs to you as a child of God. The next thing that we have established is that we now have access to grace, but that there are different levels of grace. And your ability to reign in life is dependent on the grace that you find, the grace that you receive. And this reception of grace is not passive, it's active. Lambano, remember that word. You lambano, you are taking. And God wants us to take more grace. You say, out of His fullness, we lambano, we receive grace upon grace upon. God is glorified as we receive more grace. Because as we receive more grace, we are transformed into His likeness and we can carry His grace, rivers of grace and glory and power to a world that is in need. But for us to be able to do this, we must engage the sources of grace. We must engage the sources of grace. And what you do with these different sources of grace, the 10 of them that we have mentioned, will determine the level of grace you find and your level of victory in this Christian life. And so I want to challenge you. What will you do with this revelation? Oh, may passion rise up inside your spirit and say, wow, God, so this is your plan for my life. I will find this grace. Whether it takes study, whether it takes prayer and fasting, humbling myself, whatever I need to do, God, I will find more grace. And you begin to cry out for these increasing levels of grace. I guarantee you, you will reign in life. You will reign in life. You will see the impact of this thing in your life and in your ministry. And you will be a blessing to multitudes. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that cannot fall to the ground. This word is sent to the nations. It's sent to my brothers and sisters around the world. And it begins to raise up a grace generation. A generation empowered by all-sufficient, omnipotent grace. The grace of God that can handle any matter in any situation, no matter what the devil throws at us. Father, raise up a church that is flowing in the abundance of grace. Oh, Father, for the end times, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray for diligence. I pray for diligence in our spirit. I pray for diligence in our spirit. Oh, God, that, Father, we will not be slothful to take grace. We will not be lazy to maximize the sources of grace that you have granted us access to, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, child of God. God bless you, servant of God. I want you to meditate on this truth. I want you to go over this thing. I'm encouraging you. It's not because I'm the preacher. I'm just, do you know these truths are mind-boggling to me because they show the how. These things are not just telling you what. They are showing you how triumphant Christianity works. This is the design. And as we engage these things, look, I'm expecting a generation of power. And this is the key to it. Glory to the Son of God. So please do share with other people and stay connected at the Transforming Truth group where we are studying the School of Grace and other courses in due time. God bless you.
Lord of the land, Lord of the sea.